point, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red. You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus. One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty. Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one cracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it.
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight?
Lando's not a system, he's a man. Lando Calrissian. Card player, gambler, scoundrel, you like him. Card player, gambler, scoundrel, you like him.
You truly belong here with us, fun class. You truly belong here with us, fun class. You truly belong here with us, fun class. You truly
Hello.
Belong here with us.
Howdy. So what's new?
Four in a row.
Maybe.
I'm going to run a tally until we get to 10, and then I'll feel comfortable.
Maybe it's four in a row.
So, well, we're presuming it's four in a row.
No,
there hasn't been any break.
Nothing horrible has befallen us in the week, so we're able to bring you this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
That's correct.
Number
236.
236. 20 battle droids included, we're calling it.
Exactly.
And we'll get to why that is when we hit the news segment. But before we get to the news segment, of course, we want to let you know how you can be part of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the community.
That's right.
And you can do that by going over to Facebook.
That's right.
Like us in Facebook and follow us in Facebook. You can do that now.
Like us.
You can follow us. Can't you in Facebook
do you,
also?
Do you subscribe? Is that what
I don't know. Yeah, I think so. Something like that.
I haven't looked at the Facebook page outside of posting to it.
There have been some great posts over there.
Someone just keeps tagging them idiot.
Somebody keeps just putting idiots next to stupid. I don't know who it is. Genius is what I think of it. And clearly the guy knows what he's talking about.
Oh, clearly.
So, I'm just saying. And you can do that. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter.
That's right. At BK Geek Stuff. And I'm over there as well. At Geek Stuff OG.
Right. And you can email us.
That's right. BigKevsGeekStuff@gmail.com.
What about GeekStuffOG?
That's the
gmail?
One we use for the contest.
Oh, I see. You're trying to separate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have them dragging into your BigKevsGeekStuffOG, Big Geek.
No, no. The OG. The GeekStuffOG
that's one, that one.
Email goes to my personal email.
Oh.
And the so Big that Kev's, I get it regularly.
And Big Kev's Geek Stuff email?
Goes to its own email.
Oh, I see.
But I have them both update on my phone as soon as any emails come in. So,
okay, gotcha.
It's not like I'm not seeing them.
It's like your phone is. That's why it's humming all the time.
It's buzzing, buzzing, buzzing.
You can also do what I like to call calling the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And you can leave us a message over there, and you might hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
That's correct.
And more importantly, what you can do there is two things. One, you can leave us a general question.
That's right.
A query, if you will. something you're interested in hearing us talk about. And the other thing we've been doing is we'd like to hear from you. Now, you know, we had a 7-month hiatus.
That's right.
If you're a new listener, we had a 7-month hiatus, and now we're back. And we'd like to know what you would like to have heard us talk about in the 7 months. We're actually going to do one of those later tonight.
We are.
Kicking that program off.
Correct.
And lastly, before we get in the news, we would be remiss in not discussing. Now, OG, I want to make sure you have all of the rules.
Oh, no.
In front of you.
Oh, no, I certainly do not.
You don't?
No, I'm working on putting that together.
Oh, you
that
are?
Post is not finished yet.
Oh, okay.
Because I have to go back and scour the post like 2 or 3 times. But I should say,
right.
I know that you're getting ready to announce this and kind of vaguely explain it. But we do have at least 2 entrants so far.
Is that right?
That's correct.
That's terrific. And this is the this year what we're doing is it's kind of our pledge drive.
That's right.
Think of it like PBS. But with more shit and stuff.
With less Les Mis.
Yeah, right.
And more...
less tote bags.
Right, no tote bags.
Although, I still think we should do the tote bag. I'm just saying.
Do a con bag?
Maybe a con bag. That would be interesting.
We'll look into that.
We should. We should. And what we'd like to have you do, we have 3 categories of how you can be involved.
In the Telefriend program.
Yes, the Telefriend program about Big Kev's Geek stuff. Now, you're listening to this, so presumably you like it.
Right.
Or you're just like to hear two guys completely car crash week after week.
One or the other.
One or the other. And we have 3 categories. OG is going to put up on the site the rules for the 3 categories.
That's right.
Of how you can be part of that contest. And there will be big, giant, significant prizes for each of the 3 categories.
This is what we hear.
Yes, and I believe all the rules will be up by this week, right, OG?
They will be up either as soon as this episode goes up or just a day after.
Good. So you can check that out. And then each week we're going to accept this one. We're going to read the rules for each of those categories. And didn't we say something like 6 months? Or...
Yeah, no, 3 months.
3 months.
I think is what it was.
Okay.
And we actually picked a date somewhere at the end of April, I think. Or
Maypril.
Somewhere in April.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maypril.
Maypril.
M-A-Y-P-R-I-L.
Maypril. That's right.
The magical month of Maypril. And so tell a friend... find out what the rules are. Win yourself a nice prize.
That's right.
Keep going to the website, BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Keep or start, if you haven't already, participating in the forums for each and every episode. Talk about what you liked in the episode. Talk about what you didn't like, what you'd like to see us do, and so on and so forth.
I'm glad that you brought up the forums, because since this is an ongoing contest, we might as well announce a contest tonight, right? A new one?
Okay.
We can do that?
Sure. Are you keeping track of all these contests?
No, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. One prize, 2 prizes. Oh, actually, we have a contest winner to announce.
Oh, good.
Which was that first episode back.
Right.
That was the your favorite DC, tell us your favorite DC 52 relaunch.
Oh, yes, correct.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So I'll announce that in the second half.
Why? Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that in the second half. And then over the course of the week, we had a Facebook and Twitter contest.
Okay.
That I ran.
Okay.
And the winner for that contest was announced.
Right.
That was Slick McFavorite.
Slick over at, McFavorite.
Twitter. And he won himself a set of the OMFG figures from October Toys, a
nice.
Plush colored set, donated generously by the folks over at October Toys. And that leads us into our next contest, which utilizes the forums and also involves the OMFG figures.
Right.
So, again, that the OMFG project, this was a Kickstarter project to get these artist-based, forum member participating, artist-based figures made.
Right.
Okay? These were like little muscle men figures. And if you contributed to the Kickstarter account, one of the things you can get was an exclusive set of figures all in black.
You know, I contributed 18 cents to the Kickstarter, and I didn't get a set of
black. There was a minimum in order to get the figures.
Well, that explains why I didn't get them.
No, 18 cents would not have cut it. That being said, we have a set of the exclusive Kickstarter black figures to give away. And so what we're going to do is we're going to ask you to go over to the message board. You can find the link right on BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You'll see a link that says the forums. And I'll also post a link to the specific thread in this episode post. But you're going to find the OMFG section of the message boards.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to click on that. You're going to go to the OMFG Series 2 section, which is the ongoing discussion for what will hopefully become the new set of figures.
Right.
And if you want to win a set of these figures, what you have to do is submit a design for a series two.
Okay.
And now, then we will pick a winner.
So that you're going to do actually in our forums, or
no,
are you doing
you're
going to
do it in
forums?
The OMFG forums.
Okay.
Okay.
How are we going to know that there are listeners?
I'll know.
Okay.
You could just say in your post that, you know, this is for the Big Kev's Geek Stuff contest.
Oh, okay.
Because I want their posts to be, I want them to have a chance to actually get voted.
Sure.
When this is all said and done. Now, when we pick our winner, uh-huh, right, for the contest, this is not meaning that you're getting a figure made in Series 2. This is our own contest.
Right.
But because you've submitted an entry, uh-huh, onto the message board, you will have a chance of your figure being voted on and potentially being made.
Right.
In that series. So we're
going to
pick.
And you may have a leg up in that contest to have one picked because – those guys love this program.
That's true. Yeah, but the whole community messages. Yeah, the whole community votes.
I understand.
But we're gonna give you a date of February 8th, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Right.
That's the deadline for this contest, and I will post all this information, the rules on how to enter, the link on where to enter, over at the message boards. And again, you can win yourself a set of the Black OMFG Kickstarter exclusive figures.
Nice.
And with that, I think we can move forward with the show.
OG, what did we talk about?
Nice. We didn't even get to the new stinger this week. I'm telling you, we're eventually getting to, and cue the music right after the intro. That's what we're leading up to.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
Okay, in the news tonight.
The news is your mic stand just hates you.
You know, I hit it. And it's very temperamental.
You touched it, and now it's just all over the place.
Stay. Good stand. All right, good. So, let's talk about DC.
There is a lot of DC things to talk about.
I think are we gonna spread some of this out to like product section?
Yeah, we'll move this and we'll move some of it into product. Yeah, okay. But I know what you want to talk about is not product.
No. What I want to talk about is Fox News.
Yeah, Fox News.
All right. So some of you may or may not have seen this already. Because it was all over the interwebs.
Didn't someone post it to Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
The video for this was posted over at our Facebook page. If you go to facebook.com/BKGeekStuff,
there
you could check out this news broadcast by Fox that we're about to talk to. Now, this was a Fox affiliate that did a story on the DC 52 relaunch. And I guess the basis of the story was that comics aren't for kids anymore. Right? Would you agree with that?
Totally.
Okay.
They haven't been for kids in quite some time.
I'm trying, or at least not the traditional. I'm trying to figure out where to go from here. Okay. So the crux of the story is
speak straight to the people.
Comics are not for kids anymore, which clearly we would agree with to a certain degree.
The ones they're showing.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
And by kids, let's be very specific about what we're talking about. We're talking about kids.
Grade school.
Yeah, who just learned to read.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're talking like, what, 6, 7 years old to like 12,
yeah,
11, 12.
I'd even go a little higher than 12, 13, 14 maybe.
Okay.
At least based on the books that we're talking about. And
I'll give you 13. I don't think 14. Because you know what these kids are doing at 13? Let me suggest a little film for you, sir. It's called 13.
Right.
Stars Evan Rachel Wood.
I
don't think that there's anything disturbing about, you know, these comics that's more disturbing than that movie.
Certainly 13 and 14 is right at the point where probably this becomes okay.
Right.
But the crux of the story is that comics are highly violent now, overly sexualized.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, again, they're talking about the DC 52 relaunch.
Right.
Now, certainly if you've read some of those DC 52 books.
What they didn't mention was that some of those 52 books just plain up stunk.
Right, no, they did not mention that. No, but the books that they mentioned, for example, Batman, Catwoman, to be specific.
And Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Which they made really pointed references.
Catwoman
to.
And Red Hood and the Outlaws were the two big. Because in Catwoman, in the first issue, leading into the second issue, she fucks Batman.
I guess.
No, she does.
You don't have to put it so succinctly, sir.
Oh, I am. And in Red Hood and the Outlaws, Starfire is promiscuous and scantily clad.
Which let's be very clear about this. Starfire has always been
correct
promiscuous and scantily clad, always. But what they did was, they showed a clip from a cartoon that's about 10 years old at this point.
Is it that old?
The Teen Titans cartoon?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's
it. It's got to be close to 10 years.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Or maybe early 2000s would be like 10 years. 10 years. So let's say roughly a decade ago, there was a cartoon specifically designed for small children called Teen Titans.
That's correct.
And they showed her in that cartoon as a, you know, cute, bubbly, well-dressed character who was not sexualized and so on and so forth, because it was a cartoon for small children.
Oh, absolutely. They changed the character to suit the demographic. They changed all the characters to suit the demographic of that cartoon.
Now, that said, even if that was 10 years ago, and let's say a six-year-old watched that cartoon. Well, guess what? That six-year-old is now 16.
Right.
And if he or she is reading Red Hood and the Outlaws, more power to them, number one. And number two, they're 16.
Right. Well,
no one has introduced the character of Starfire to children now, to young grade school children now.
So, again... what I want to say is that those two books in particular, DC, I guess, got rid of the comics code, right? And they developed a rating system for their books.
I think so, yeah.
Those two books are rated teen plus.
Okay.
So that's 16 and over is how those books are rated.
Right.
It's similar to the video game rating system that exists.
Right.
It's similar to the movie rating system that exists.
Which these same idiots all rail against anyway. Sitting around and they're killing. They're just sitting around all day and they're killing each other on these games. What were you doing in Battleship?
So
you know, in the board game, what were you doing?
Blowing up ships.
Yeah, just aren't you killing each other? Like,
so the Fox affiliate goes out and they get an expert, a child psychologist, right, to comment on this, and he compares these books to Playboy. He says, this is Playboy for kids, is what he says. All right. And then what they do is knowingly and willingly take a book that they admit in the broadcast is geared towards 16 plus.
Right.
And they take it to a middle school.
And they show it to like 11 year old.
Like a 12 year old. 11 to a 12 year old.
And they're like, oh, it's violent, bloody.
And one of the, like, you know, one of the. And she's like, you know, she comments on it. She shows it to a parent. The whole point of this is that DC is actually doing the right thing. I want to come to the defense of DC in this story.
Yeah.
DC is doing the right thing.
I
they
agree.
Developed a rating system so that parents could make an educated guess or an educated decision when hopefully helping their children buy these books.
Right.
Okay. And the comic shop owners as well.
Right.
And the school is showing what they equate to porn.
Not the school.
Fox News. Is showing what they equate to porn to 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
So if I was those parents, I would be outraged.
At Fox.
I would sue Fox
for
showing my child something that I considered inappropriate or did not want my child to see.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just irresponsible reporting on the side of Fox.
And the other thing we need to say is that one thing glaringly not mentioned in the Fox report is that DC has a whole line for kids.
Of course.
Tiny Titans. One of a friend of the show does Tiny Titans for them. They have other books that are Batman. What's the Batman book for kids? Batman, was it Brave and the Bold?
Yeah.
Or something like there's a specific book and a specific line of books for kids.
Right.
That I don't understand why they didn't mention that in the report.
Well, because that would have made them look like idiots.
Well, and what they also don't say is that, or what they do say rather, is that all comic books are intended to be read by children. That's just
not
the case.
Right, exactly.
That's what they're implying. It's a comic book, and you know, kids read comic books, all comic books.
That hasn't been the case for 20 years, 25 years.
That is someone that whoever that news producer is so completely out of touch with reality that it's should be embarrassing for Fox.
Let's be honest. I said 25 years, but I think that's even a bullshit statement on my part. Go back to early Spider-Man, the issues that dealt with drug use and stuff like that.
Yeah, hi, Speedy shooting, Speedy Green Arrow sidekick shooting heroin on a cover.
I mean,
Iron Man's alcoholism.
Right.
I mean, these things didn't just happen overnight.
There have always been adult themes in books.
Always.
Which is why the Comics Code was established.
Yes.
So again, it's just Fox being irresponsible, and we just wanted to
give our
sense on that.
Yeah, go to our Facebook page. I think it's still up posted over there.
Yeah, it's up there.
And check it out. It's really, I mean, when you see how they pick and choose rather than giving you a complete picture, it's almost embarrassing to Fox. It should be embarrassing.
All right, well, let's move past this
Fox thing.
Fox, and on to other things in the news.
Okay.
You want to talk about ElfQuest?
No.
You're going to have to, because I'm going to.
I'm Wendy Peeney, right?
Warner Brothers killed ElfQuest.
Oh, good.
And they gave a flat-out reason. We don't want to put out something that competes with The Hobbit. That was their flat-out reason.
And you know what? And with all due respect...
it's a good reason?
Yeah. It's not only is it a good reason, but it... I don't really ElfQuest is one of those books. I think if you've been reading ElfQuest for say 30 years,
right,
then chances are you're a really big fan of ElfQuest.
Right.
I read ElfQuest when I was like 15,
right,
or so. I didn't think it was so great a story to begin with. But I think at this point, great story or not, it's such an epic property that they feel like, you know, they should do something with it and so on and so forth. I don't disagree. I can't see that working on film at all.
Yeah.
And I rarely say that.
And I want to commend Warner Brothers because traditionally speaking, or maybe not traditionally speaking, but in modern history, in modern film history, when a movie like The Hobbit comes out, right, and is successful, or The Lord of the Rings comes out and is successful, the thing to do if you're every other industry that didn't release The Hobbit is to scoop up every fantasy license available that's like The Hobbit and try to capitalize on the momentum, the genre,
right,
the effects.
We saw that. We saw that after Harry Potter with
Percy Jackson and the Lightning Chasers or whatever the hell that book was.
Well, it's whatever the Percy Jackson series of books. Right. There was also the
Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe of the Narnia.
Yeah, the Narnia books. There was also the. Well, I don't know if Narnia was so much a reflection of Harry Potter as it was a reflection of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Because those books were written at the same time.
You're right.
But I think, what was the other one? Darkness Rising or whatever, The Dark is Rising.
Yeah, you're talking about the...
Ian McShane was in it. That's all I remember.
Yeah, the Compass one, right?
No. I'm talking about a different one. That one too, though. Golden Compass is another great example. His Dark Materials, wasn't that what it was? No, this was another one. Ian McShane, The Darkness Rising. Something, I don't know.
Anyway.
There was a bunch of them. And there was the one that the kid looked through the little stone and he saw, like, the things living in his backyard. I don't remember what the hell that one was called.
Yeah.
You know why you don't remember it? Because it was forgettable.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the case. And good for Warner Brothers because you have now at least 2 years of Hobbit.
Right.
Excitement, one presumes. Well, three, really, if you count the one leading up to the first movie. And on top of that, you know, there's so much other stuff being made now that, you know, Warner Brothers, I think, has to pick and choose very carefully because they're not doing so hot, in my opinion. Yes, Batman, fine. But, you know, let me balance that out for you. Green Lantern. So.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's a hit or miss, and I think they do wise to make their choices more carefully.
So, yes, kudos to Warner Brothers for making that decision. The right decision, we're saying here on Because Geeks.
That's what we're saying.
All right, I got one more news story. Well, it's like two more news stories, but it's about one particular thing. It's Dark Knight Rises related.
Oh, okay.
So we'll call this part of the news segment the Al Ghul.
Hey, we got the Star Wars thing to do, too.
Oh, yeah, okay. We can do that, too. We'll do that after the Al Ghul segment of the
Al Ghul.
Liam Neeson confirmed that he did do some filming for Dark Knight Rises, but it was like, he said he was on set for like an hour and a half. So it's like,
just like the voice work he did for the Clone Wars.
Yeah. It's going to be a flashback. Of course, the other thing confirmed this week is that Talia al Ghul is definitely in the movie.
Okay.
She's being played by Joey King, who was in Battle for Los Angeles, the little girl in Battle for Los Angeles.
No.
Anyway, one or two other things. But the point is that she's young, so I'm hoping that her presence can't convolute the story too much.
How young is she?
However, well, she's a 12-year-old girl. So.
Yeah, so here's the problem with that, you know, because in the comics continuity.
Right.
Not that I'm really going to make a federal case out of this because what?
No, go ahead.
Because if you are trying to compare movie continuity to comic continuity, you're just going to be disappointed
right.
all the time. But that said, in the comics, they have a child. Batman and
right.
Talia al Ghul have Damian Wayne. Right. Is their love child.
Right. Well, clearly love this is child. Not that iteration. The my question / concern is, how does she actually play into the story?
We don't have any idea.
Right. And to me, my concern, although in Nolan I trust, but my concern is that it seems like it's getting a bit convoluted
well,
in the pool. You know
and,
what I mean?
And here's the thing. about that. Is you can't count her as a villain.
No, you cannot.
You can count her as a character, like
correct.
Gordon's a character.
Correct.
Like Fox is a character.
Right. So I'm almost wondering
Alfred
if...
Alfred is a character.
I'm wondering if maybe, you know, Bruce Wayne is away, wherever he is training again, you know, at the beginning of the movie.
You know, so here's the thing.
So maybe she's tied into that somehow?
Maybe, but there has been absolutely, from the trailer, even the opening sequence, absolutely nothing to go on what the overall arcing story of this movie is.
Yes, except for in the trailer, you do see the scruffy-looking
yeah.
Bruce Wayne. So you have to assume that's
there's some
the beginning
part
of,
it. Of
the movie.
You don't have to assume that. What if
what,
know,
that's the,
what if
the prologue?
I can give you...
Or the epilogue?
I can give you a suitable answer to that that has nothing to do with what you're saying.
Okay.
Bane starts attacking the city.
Yeah.
He feels that only, you know, he tries to go up against Bane as Batman. Bane kicks his ass. He decides,
right.
I got to go train some more. He goes back, gets some training, a la Rocky. And then he comes back and beats Clubber Lang, Kane.
Okay.
And in the end of the movie.
See,
that is just as plausible as he opens up training. Why would he open up training?
Well,
it's 8 years later.
Well, yeah, but he's also in hiding for 8 years. And so he has to go someplace for 8 years, right? He disappears, or he has to go away at the end of...
No one said Bruce
Dark
Wayne
I know.
Leaves.
I know.
So
it, either way, we're speculating.
I know.
It's
and
not
we're gonna
speculating
It's going to continue for, like, what,
for
five more months?
100 more months.
What is it, February, March, April, May, June? Is it July?
Forever more months.
6 months? Is it July? Isn't it July, that movie?
It's the summer.
June, July? It's 5, 6 months at least.
I don't know.
We're just going to keep speculating.
And it's not worth it.
And Catwoman
it just
is just awful.
Oh,
so,
I like Catwoman. Shush.
I like Anne Hathaway. I just have not seen a picture yet of Catwoman that I like.
I don't hate it. I don't like. We'll get into it.
What's funny is you usually are a hater, which is.
We'll get into it.
The big toy news story, of course, Toy Fair is just around the corner.
For the
that
US.
Is for the U.S. However, UK Toy Fair has already passed, and of course, Hasbro, in their infinite wisdom, shows things at UK Toy Fair. That, you know, kind of spoils the surprise, if you will, for the U.S. people.
Now, that kind of happened last year, though,
it happened,
too.
It's happened
right?
every year.
Although last year, I think technically they weren't supposed to have images of the AT-AT, but we all knew it was confirmed.
Was it the AT-AT last year?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
I believe the
no,
AT-AT
it wasn't.
Was last
it was
year.
The year before. Last year was the Republic gunship.
Oh, yes, you're correct. Ship. Okay, so the year of the AT-AT.
Right.
I don't think there were supposed to be photos released, but it word got
remember.
Out that
But they
it
got
was,
out anyway, yeah. And that's, well, it's not a problem. It's just kind of a, you know, you kind of want to be, like, amongst the first.
You want to be wowed.
Yeah, I want to be amongst the first to see it. That's
right.
That's like a little nitpicky thing. It's fine. But that said, one of the things that we Star Wars collectible type people look forward to every year is what the big vehicle is going to be.
That's right.
And by big vehicle, I mean the big ticket item. For Star Wars for the year, that's over $100.
That's right.
It was the Millennium Falcon 1 year. It was Clone Wars the ATTE
right,
was 1 year.
Right, that tank, right.
The rolling, the one with the wheels.
Yeah.
I can't remember what that one's called. Turbo tank. I think that was
yeah,
the turbo
was
tank.
Yeah, was it turbo tank?
The AT-AT, and then last year's disappointing Republic gunship.
Right.
Right? So we have gone through all of these big vehicles, and we've been surprised every year and pleased and happy and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, anticipation for this year was incredibly low.
Yeah.
Because Hasbro has decided to put their focus on Episode One. Now,
right.
For most of us, me included, this is great news.
Yeah, cool, because you're not a...
Because I don't got to buy a lot of stuff this year.
That's correct.
It's going to be a bad year for Hasbro. It's going to be a bad year for Star Wars. You heard it here first. Because they have decided to flood the market. All of the lines will focus mostly on Episode One. Episode One things that have been out in the past, like the pod racers,
right?
The Sebulba pod and the Anakin pod coming out again. I think they're the same exact pieces that came out in what was it, 99?
Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan's ships, right? Or I think are in there, aren't they?
I don't know about those specific ones yet. I'm just talking about the stuff that I absolutely
yeah.
know.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
In the first wave of figures that's coming out. There's three different types. Now, there's the Vintage Collection.
Correct.
Which is it's supposed to be their ultimate version of these characters, full of articulation, full of accessories.
Right.
The best movie likeness they can do, right? When this was announced to us, they said this was vintage characters on vintage-style cards, like the cards from the 80s.
Right.
That quickly turned into... Well, it's really characters that we want to do on vintage cards from the 80s.
Right.
So the first three images released from the Vintage Collection this year were Nikto.
Right.
Who's one of the skiff guards.
Right.
Which is fine because that's one of the figures that the kind of the vintage people have been looking for.
Sure.
But the other two, one was Galen Merrick, who's the character from Force Unleashed.
Oh, okay.
The Apprentice. And the other one is Shay Visla, who is a character from Old Republic.
Right.
On the vintage cards. In the Vintage Collection. And it's just, they've gotten away from that. Okay, so they're doing Episode One figures in the Vintage Collection.
Right.
Most of which are redos of ones that they did in 99. New articulation, new sculpts, and so on. However, if you ever buy Star Wars toys, or if you've ever been to a toy show or a show that has any of these items, you know Episode One figures suck. And number two, they didn't sell when Episode One came out.
The only figures that sell consistently are Darth Maul figures.
Right.
And Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah.
Because if you're a Jedi collector, that was the only time to get the Qui-Gon Jinn figures
yep.
was Episode One.
Yeah. And so... So in the vintage line, you have those figure. You have Episode One figures in the vintage line. Then they have the movie, the movie Heroes collection, and the first wave of that will be like Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, Darth Maul.
Right.
Then they have another collection. I don't remember what it is off the top of my head, which will also have Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and Darth Maul.
Right.
And then they'll have special electronic figures with light up sabers. First time they've ever done light up sabers.
Oh, that's cool.
Right. With Qui-Gon,
Obi-Wan,
and Darth Maul.
Well, I need to get the Darth Maul one.
Well, you're three cards in now for the same figure.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a vintage. The vintage figure, the vintage collection figure of Darth Maul looks really good.
Okay.
It's been said, I've been reading. I want to take this moment to recognize Jedi Temple Archives.
Yes.
Jedi Temple Archives, the best Star Wars site out there. I love you guys. I read you guys at least 10 times a day, right? I post on their forums. I just do all that stuff. I love those guys. They, in conjunction with other people that I've read reviews, they're saying that the Darth Maul Vintage Collection may be the best one ever.
Okay.
However, that said, the other ones you're getting are kind of like substitute teachers
right, yeah.
versions of them. Okay, so that all aside, back to the big vehicle. I know I got off on a little bit of a tangent. Back to the big vehicle. Big vehicle this year is the droid army. What are they
called? The mobile transport.
Mobile transport, right? Is that what the name of it was? MTT, I think it's called. Mobile Troop Transport.
Mobile, yeah, MTT, the Mobile Troop Transport.
Okay, so this is the thing. It looks like a cigar.
Right.
Right? You remember when in episode one, if you can remember way back then, or if you saw it last week.
Well, we should take a second to say that if you're watching the show right now on QuickTimes or iTunes, you're looking at a Mobile Troop Transport.
Oh, yeah, because there's the picture. It looks like it's the vehicles that on the Battle of Naboo, when all the Gungans were set up, and over the hill comes the droid army
right.
in these giant cigar-looking things, and then the front of the cigar flops down, and this rack comes out
right, yeah.
with battle droids, and it starts laying the battle droids out. That's the big vehicle. Now, here's what we know so far. It's about 3+ feet long, right? That part does come down, that rack does come out, and this vehicle includes 20 battle droids.
So if you're a droid collector...
yeah, if you're a droid army builder, this is, like, balls out for you, because this is not only going to give you a huge vehicle, it's also going to give you 20 battle droids.
That's your display right there.
Exactly. I mean, you're ready to go right out of the box. We have never gotten... You know, the AT-TE...
Right.
Which was the that didn't come with 20 figures that fit in it. It didn't come with 20 troopers.
Right.
Turbo Tank didn't come with 10 troopers or whatever it is. So this is a kind of an unprecedented move for Hasbro. Now, that said, we haven't seen the figures, so we don't know if they're going to do limited articulation battle droids
or what exactly they're going to do. I think that they just took all of the battle droids that were still on the cards.
That weren't selling. Yeah.
They took them back.
Yeah.
And they
Possible.
Put them. They put them in
just
the MTT.
Put them in the box.
Sure, why not?
Hey, these two don't match. Put them in the box. So, I mean, it's entirely possible they did that. But that said, it's unprecedented, and I believe the price point is $129. There was a report today.
Right.
JediTempleArchives.com. There was a report today. I think that Target had already listed it in their system, and I believe the price point was either $129 or $139.
So, the interesting thing with that is how is Hasbro gonna? First of all, I have concerns that the piece will sell, but assuming the piece sells, how do they turn a profit on that?
Okay, so one assumes
right because 20 battle droids is $129 by itself.
Oh, let's hold on a minute there. Yeah, 20 battle droids, if they were in the vintage collection at Walmart,
right.
they'd be $10 plus tax. They'd be
right.
roughly $10 a pop. Because
right.
I think they
clearly
just,
doesn't cost
they just priced up to $9.99.
Right.
So $10, you know, and from a retail perspective, it's $200 worth of
right.
battle droids plus this giant vehicle. Okay, so this is why I speculate we need to see
what
the battle droids.
Like.
Exactly. We need to see what they are. Because if they just blew out a bunch of shit droids that
right.
they took some articulation out of to be cheaper or something like that, that's entirely possible. But that said, I'm sure the profit angle on this piece has got to be high, because if it wasn't, they wouldn't make it.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that some of the droids that are included, because, you know, we're thinking 20 battle droids. You're thinking you could take 20 battle droids off of this and display them.
It's entirely possible, though.
It is, but, you know, some of them might be hard sculpted into the rack kind of thing.
I would not count
so,
those.
No?
No, I don't think Hasbro would do that either.
All right, well.
I don't think Hasbro would do that.
Either way, we'll see it in a couple of weeks.
Well, that's
and
true.
We'll report back.
Well, I just have just a couple more speculations.
Oh, yeah, sure, go for it.
Number one, I have to imagine that, and this is supposed to come with lights and sound and play features and all that jazz. I have to believe that stuff has got to be extraordinarily limited.
Okay.
It has to be, because the more that you do like that, the less you can, you know, the more it's going to cost. And to include that many battle droids, if they're actually battle droid action figures with weapons and stuff, if they're the whole kit, so to speak, then the money has to come from somewhere. You have to reduce the amount of play functionality of the piece.
Right.
So I don't know. I got to imagine that somewhere along the line. I mean, it's this big, dude.
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
It's 3 feet. Now, they don't say if it's 3 feet closed or if it's 3 feet
with
the
rack
extended.
Right.
Like, so there's a lot of things that we're going to have to look at. But right now, at least, that's what we know thus far. It comes with 20 battle droids. 20 battle droids included. Note the name of the episode.
Correct.
And then I think the price point is either $129 or $139. It was listed at Target. The other rumor going around is that it may be a Target exclusive. which, holy shit, that is a hell of an exclusive for one place to have, I just have to say.
I think that would be a mistake.
I think it would be, too.
That kind of product at that kind of price point, you need to put in as many different hands as possible.
Yeah.
And I mean maybe Target gets a period of exclusivity.
Right.
You know, where, like, they get, like...
Maybe.
Like, well, a couple
look,
of months.
Well,
and
look,
then...
Toys R Us had the Slave One redo.
Right.
That was pretty big. It wasn't 3 feet.
Yeah, but it wasn't this big.
Yeah,
and this
true.
Is this is big. You
Toys
know
R
mean?
Us has had Toys R Us had the Trench Run. That box was at least that big. So, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
All right.
With that, OG, let's take our first break on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 236. 20 battle droids included.
What's up, everybody? It's Jay from the Masters of None podcast on Simply Syndicated and, of course, at mastersofnone.com. And we've had some fine shows lately. Tell them what we've had, Art.
We've had some great celebrity interviews booked by yours truly with Danny Trejo and Jim Brewer.
Yes, of course. And we've also had the Poser's Guide to Canada, as well as the wonderful Nerd Off Back to the Future versus Star Wars that someone happened to win. That would be myself.
And, of course, lots of ego stroking and insults galore with a comedy podcast that doesn't suck. Check us out with Masters of None.
Hey, this is Rob Paulson, better known as Pinky.
And Maurice LaMarche, better known as The Brain. Yes. And you are listening to Big Kev's
Geek Stuff.
Narf. Quiet, Pinky, I shall have to hurt you.
The Pinky and the Brain.
Narf.
Hey, OG and Big Kev, this is Crackit from the forum. You asked, what we wanted you to talk about during the 7-month hiatus. I want y'all to talk about your experience at New York Comic Con 2011. Talk to you later. Bye.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 236, 20 battle droids included.
Ah, New York Comic Con.
That's right.
Well, I have two words to describe my experience at New York Comic Con this year.
Okay.
Cat shit.
All right. So, are we gonna tell some of the tales?
No,
real quick?
I think we'll leave that tale aside.
We'll leave that tale aside.
Although
that particular tale did come up today in conversation.
Oh, it did?
Online, it did. Yes. Yeah.
With
I think the exact quote was, "Who knew Cat Shit Corner was going to be so popular?"
Who said that?
one of our table guests.
Is that right?
I'll leave it at that.
You don't want to tell me which one, right?
No, it's someone who wants to continue to work with us at the booth.
But, Eric from Argonaut Resin, wasn't
but,
it?
But who knew Cat
I know
corner?
It was you, Eric. I know it was you.
So, yeah, New
yeah,
York
well,
Comic Con.
Well, yeah.
It was a success for us.
It
I
was,
say.
Yeah. I thought it was really, really terrific. We're really excited about New York Comic Con next year. I hope we're going to be a part of it.
Of course.
And, yeah, it was really, really great. We liked our place. Like, we were against the wall, which was really great.
We were in Artist Alley this year.
We were near Artist Alley.
Yeah, we were.
We weren't actually.
We
were in Podcast
Alley. But
yeah.
We were, like, on the outskirts of
yeah.
Podcast. We
yeah,
were
it was
in,
nice,
like,
actually.
In between.
Yeah, you know what? And when I first saw where our booth was going to be, I was really upset.
Right.
Because usually, in the past, we've been kind of in the middle of the floor.
Correct.
And we've had a nice corner booth, you know, space, and you see some of the spaces that some of these other guys get, and I feel bad for some of them, you know, because we've always been really well taken care of and so on and so forth. And this year I felt bad, for them as well, and was thankful that we had the space that we had once I got there and saw, you know, the condition of the rest of the space.
You know what the difference between us and them is, traditionally speaking, a lot of those podcasts don't bring in a lot of guests.
That's
or
true.
Don't do, like, signings
right.
or anything like that. And, you know, for at least the last
right.
4 years now,
mm-hmm.
we've had...
No, since the beginning.
We've had rotating guests
no,
in
since,
and out of the booth.
Since the beginning?
Yeah. We've had guests?
Who didn't we have Melody Anderson the first year?
No,
oh, no,
not
she was
the very
ours
first
the second
year.
Year.
She was ours the second
yeah,
year.
Yeah, the first year we were next to Melody.
That's
Anderson.
Correct.
And then we became chummy, and then...
That's correct.
We did the
commentary.
The commentary of Flash Gordon, which I'm
right.
sure you can find on some
somewhere.
Illegal method. And because do we have some of those left, OG?
No.
Shut up. The point is that we have had guests almost from the beginning.
Right. And this year, our booth space was huge. We had three tables and filled with guests.
I actually like to point out we did have guests the first year.
Who?
Jason Mewes sat at our table, and so did and what was his name? The kid who's no one's ever heard of since. Milanakis?
Oh, that's right.
Remember that
that's
kid? Right. He was popular for like 6 seconds.
I do remember that kid.
The two of them sat at our booth for like an hour. The first
I remember.
Year.
You're so. Right. You're right. So we've always had guests.
Yes.
Is the point. And this year was no different. We had, again, we had Eric from Argonaut Resins. We had Jamie Hatton from In His Likeness. We had Richard Page from Ume Toys with his prints. Richard cleaned up.
Yeah.
He's a swell bloke. He did a
nice fella.
Nice fella. Who else do we have? We had, I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, we had Lou Pimentel was there for a while with us, and he had an exclusive print with us. We had Spleet there on Saturday. We had
representatives of the Galactic Empire.
We did, that's right. That's right. Unfortunately, Selena herself could not be there, but
that's right.
But representatives.
Because she was deported.
Pete was there representing properly. So, yeah, it was a good conference.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, unlike some other years, I didn't get to leave the booth very much. Normally, I get to go to like at least one or two panels and stuff like that. And that was partially self-inflicted upon myself. Like, I got to walk the floor.
Right.
You know, I made it over to the cult yard and I saw all of our friends over there. And I walked all of Artist Alley. I bought some prints.
I was able to hang out with superstars like the Suck Lord.
Like the Suck Lord?
And like Angry Wobots.
That's right. Right.
I hope Angry Wobots will not be angry with me that I put him and the Suck Lord in the same category just then.
No, but I hung out over by Eric Scarecrow's booth for a bit. I saw Simeon from over at the Art Hustle.
The
Benny
Hollywood.
From Tenacious Toys.
The Hollywood Suck Lord.
Yeah, the Hollywood Suck Lord. With Vintage Splatter.
Yes, that's right.
It was a really good con. It was busy. I think overall it was really positively received too.
Uh-huh.
Like this is the first year where I think the positives outweighed the negatives.
Right.
Not on our opinion, but like the feedback from the community.
No,
it's been 50-50 or
I think we had a better year this year than we've had in the last couple.
Oh, absolutely.
Couple. The first 2 years I think were the best for us in the sense that we had everything was spot on perfect. And ever since then, it's kind of slid down a little bit. But I'd like to say it's back on an upswing.
Yeah. It was a great con. It was a great experience. I wish I would have got to see a little bit more, but you know, there's always next year. And,
well, I'm hoping.
And
I'm hoping that we're going
to
be involved.
Lots of fans came by. We got to hang out with a lot of fans of the show. That was nice. Gave it a lot of stickers.
Yeah.
Fun stuff. It was a good show. It really was a good con.
The one thing that I have to say about that con is. You know who I talk to then?
I know.
You ever just look in her eyes? like the first time I saw a sickly person who is too goddamn pale.
She walked past me
at
one point in time, and I had to take a double take. She must have been so sick.
Because
she was so ill that weekend.
My infatuation aside, she looked like low-fat milk.
Yeah,
I mean,
she was unwell.
She did not look well. She didn't sound well. And I was like,
poor
I was
Felicia.
Torn. I don't understand because, you know, like you see her like in videos. I know everyone's going to, here we go, start the calls. You see her on TV and she looks so good, but in person, you know what? I've seen her in person before and I've, you know, screwed up many a thing as a result. But the point is that she did not look
I think she was sick. I think she had mentioned it online that she wasn't feeling well going into that con. So anyway, New York Comic Con was a huge success. It was a great show. I think that show is getting bigger every year. It's a force to be reckoned with, I think, going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I hope some more of you who haven't made it out there to check that con out, absolutely try to get out there next year. Hopefully, again, like Kev said, we'll be out there participating
again.
And, you know, thank you, of course, to Crackit for calling in and leaving that lovely voice message. And, of course, we encourage all of you to call in with your questions or things you may want us to cover.
425-920-6050.
Excellent. And I think with that, we can move forward with the show.
Oh, I thought with that we were going to take our final break.
Final break.
Geek Stuff, DVD news.
Slow week again in DVDs. I don't think we even brought it up last week, but if you didn't notice last week, no DVDs.
Yeah, and really the only one we want to touch on really quickly at this point is Real Steel.
Right.
Wolverine makes a boxing movie a la Rocky, but with robots. And that's how they're selling it. It's Rocky with robots. You see that quote everywhere.
It's more like Robot Jocks.
It's kind of...
Do you remember that movie?
I wouldn't say it's exactly like Robot Jocks, because they rode in the robots.
Those are like mech suits. This is more like...
Did you actually get to see this movie?
I did not.
You know what? I didn't get to see it either, which is why I can't comment on it too much. But I did hear it was really good. And I heard some rumblings about how are they going to take this forward.
I've heard a lot of people say it's like one of their guilty pleasures of 2011.
And that said, the toys were awful.
And are still on every single
peg. And on clearance.
Every single store.
And they're on clearance.
And even on clearance,
and there's new,
I don't want them.
There's new stuff coming out going right to clearance. So if you're really a really big fan and you like the toys and you want them or whatever, it's a good time for you to get right in there and get them. Yeah, I wasn't.
You know what's going to happen? 20 years from now, people are going to be like, oh my God, I've been searching high and low for those Real Steel toys and I can't find them. You remember those from when we were a kid?
No.
Fuck you.
No one remembers them.
So, yes, that's DVDs for this week. We could say, of course, that there's three versions of this. There's the DVD, the Blu-ray DVD, and then the Blu-ray digital copy combo pack thing. So, yeah, I don't think there are any retailer exclusives or anything like that.
Well, I think the days of that are probably over.
Maybe bigger titles.
Maybe.
Geek Stuff, comics, books, and graphic novels.
Comic books this week.
Actually, only two actual issues to talk about. The first one is Batman The Dark Knight number 5.
Right.
Of course, this is by David Finch, Paul Jenkins, and Richard Friend.
Is he?
I say Dick Friend.
Whatever you want to say. Is that what you call them now?
I'm just saying.
Is that like the other kind of
Stop.
Putt buddy, Dick Friend?
Stop. David Finch, it should be noted, his art is spectacular. Even though he himself, we did a video with him. I think it wasn't at New York.
It
was at New York the previous year.
No, was it at Philly maybe?
Maybe it was Philly. I don't know. Wherever it was, I didn't like him so much.
Yeah.
He was kind of a bit of a douche. That said, though, his art is banging good on Batman. Banging good. I'm glad he's doing this book, The Dark Knight, versus, say, the regular Batman title or Detective, because I think it gives him the opportunity to do a little bit more outlandish things, you know, because the Dark Knight book that came out this week, that particular title, Batman The Dark Knight, is focusing more on the whole demon-y aspect, blah, blah, supernatural aspect, I guess is probably the best way to put that. So check that out from DC Comics. It's Batman The Dark Knight number 5. And then it's The Last Phantom number... I don't even know what number this is.
It's the last issue?
No.
Or the book is entitled The Last Phantom?
It is The Last Phantom.
Can we talk about the first four issues of this before we went off the air?
Issue 11 of,
okay.
I believe, of 12. I believe the next one is the last one, but I'm not sure.
All right.
Alex Ross doing the cover for this, which
Pulpy
is very
love.
Nice. Yeah. It's written by Scott Beatty, illustrated by Eduardo Ferrigato, Mr. Roboto.
Mr. Roboto? All right.
Colored by Vinicius Andrade.
Whatever you say.
Wow. And of course, as every Dynamite book, it must have 8 or 9 different covers. Alex Ross, Steven Sadowski, and Jonathan Lau, creating the covers for this one. Now, I have not been a really big fan of this book, and I am a really big fan of the character. So,
okay.
Kind of wondering where they're going to go with this after this, but I'm not really holding my breath.
Okay.
So, Dynamite's The Last Phantom number 11. I do believe 12 is the last issue, but I'm not sure about that.
I didn't make it to the store this week, so I don't actually know what came out in my realm, but... You know.
Green Arrow came out.
Oh, did it come out? Oh, excellent.
I don't know.
Oh. Well, to hell with you then.
I like to just throw that out there.
Every week Green Arrow came out this week.
Every week. Are you going to get Green Arrow? Dude, you didn't see what happened?
Hate you.
This is the one where Superman pulls off his arm, which makes Dark Knight part of actual continuity.
Blech.
Anyway, a couple of trades to check out. A little book from Oni Press called Spontaneous.
Okay.
And it's a hardcover. Gonna run you, what, $25? And it, I believe it reprints. I believe this was a single issue effort first.
Okay.
And a collection second. I'm trying to verify that. I can't find verification if this came out in single issue form. It certainly looks like it did, the way that the chapters are cut up. In any event, the reason that drew me to this book was not the writer Joe Harris, who I'm not terribly familiar with. It's not the story, although it's one that's really cool. I'm going to read you a little gray matter from the back. Kelvin Melvin Reyes was only 3 years old when spontaneous human combustion took his father from him. He since devoted his life to exploring the mystery behind the phenomenon, searching for a pattern and predictor so that he might save others from the same fiery fate. But the closer he gets to his goal, the further things lead down a well of secrets, horrors, and terrible truths. So it's kind of a little supernatural-ish mystery. I'll tell you what makes the book fabulous. That is the art of Brett Weldaley. How would you say that, sir?
Weddle?
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 W-E-L-D-E-L-E, Weddle?
Weddle?
Weddle? Weddle?
Maybe the L is silent.
Weldaley.
Maybe just
Weldaley.
Sure.
Weldaley. And we've talked about his art in other books, and I can't, off the top of my head, there's that one, it was recently out, where you couldn't look at a person, or your eyes burned out. I can't remember what that one's called either. It was a really great book, though, and I really, really like his art. Now, this is a guy who I'm going to have to find at a con and get a sketch from, and I'm never actually going to find him, and they're going to say he's there, and then I'm going to search and look for him, and he's not going to be there. Just like, what, the last four guys I really
like. The Surrogates, Southland Tales, Seven.
He did Seven, yes, that I remember. No, nothing else?
Julius, Shot Callers.
No.
I don't know. That's what I see.
I think the book was from, might have been from Image, but I'm not sure. In any event, you can check out this book, and you should. It's a really great read, and the art really makes the story worthwhile. So check that out. It's called Spontaneous. It's from Oni Press. And also this week, Frank Reed, Adventures in the Age of Invention, from Paul Guinan and Anina Bennett. These are the authors of a book we've talked about many times in the past called
That's right.
Boilerplate.
Love Boilerplate.
That was optioned by who? J.J. Abrams, I think?
Yes. I don't know if it went anywhere, but that's
it's going.
Oh, is it?
Oh, it's okay, going, good. Yeah. This one says the original steampunk hero on the back. Before Jules Verne's flying machines and H.G. Wells spaceships, there was Frank Reed, globetrotting inventor. Frank Reed magazines were the world's first science fiction periodicals, enthralling millions of readers with tales of fantastic inventions and adventures. Now, many of the spectacular images from the vintage dime novel series are being reprinted for the first time in more than a century, along with excerpts from the action-packed stories. In Frank Reed, Adventures in the Age of Invention, the lost legacy of Americana is interwoven with a biography of the, quote, real, end quote, Reed family, inventors and explorers who travel the world with their helicopter, airship, submarine, and robots. The epic saga is brought to life in the multimedia style of the author's previous volume, the critically acclaimed Boilerplate, History's Mechanical Marvel. Frank Reed is part science fiction, part alternate history, and entirely exciting. So there you go.
Nice.
So if you like Boilerplate, you're going to like this, because that's kind of, you know, essentially what this is.
That's
it's
awesome.
It's a bit of a history of something that didn't really exist, but you wish it had.
Right.
Just like Boilerplate. So check that out. Frank Reed, Adventures in the Age of Invention, going to run you about $25. But it's big, and it has lots of wonderful imagery.
We like imagery.
Uh-huh. And lastly, from 1821 Comics, which is a company I'm not familiar with, Stan Lee, Terry Douglas, Max Work, and Scan Cerezuela, present us with Romeo and Juliet, The War. Special collector's edition. Now, this is a giant, wide hardcover.
Right.
Going to run you $30, and it's essentially, It's the Romeo and Juliet story set in an alternate kind of spacey, futuristic sort of situation.
The Montagues are powerful cyborgs made of artificial DNA, and the Capulets are genetically enhanced humans.
Well, there you go. And it's based clearly based on William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. You can check it out at 1821 Comics. That's 1821comics.com. I really thought it was really neat. It's a really pretty book.
Right.
And Stan Lee is involved.
Okay.
So, of course, that's an impetus to check most things out. I'm not going to say everything.
Not a stripperella.
I like stripperella. With some of the other stuff, like when he tried to reinvent Robin Hood and stuff. Ugh, terrible. Terrible stuff. This was reimagined by Stan Lee and Terry Dugas, written by Max Work, artwork by Stan Sarusian and Studio Hive, which I'm guessing he's doing the covering and production and stuff. There's like a billion credits on the front page of this book.
Okay.
Check that out at 1821comics.com. And that is our D&D update. No.
No.
I'm getting all my old things mixed up.
Clearly. Your brain is... scatter.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Oh, that one I know. That's the product stinger.
That's right.
So we can talk about product. Now, we don't have...
physical product.
We don't have a really physical piece of product. We want to discuss DC Direct Collectibles 2012 sort of free book. You probably are able to get this at your comic book store.
Right.
This is a type of periodical that DC hands out usually around the time of Toy Fair, but what's different is they usually hand it out at Toy Fair. I don't recall them doing this before now.
Well, apparently this went out to retailers, because we know some retailer friends that got this.
Right. And the other thing about it is that, well, the other thing is about DC Direct is we know that there was a huge shift in the management of DC Direct in the last 2 years, and kind of those changes are fully implemented now.
Right.
Where they were kind of in transit. DC Direct is now, I think their kind of head offices are no longer at DC. I think they're on the West Coast. They're more with Warner Brothers, you know, if that's to be believed. And inside, they've given some full-color pictures about the collectibles that DC Direct will be putting out in 2012. And surprisingly, it's not that much.
No. No, and we're going to highlight some of these, because some of these we're going to probably cover again at Toy Fair.
Right.
Because we'll actually probably see some of these at Toy Fair.
Exactly. So. Arkham, Batman Arkham City Collector Action Figures.
That's right.
Series 2 in April of 2012, which will include Catwoman, Hush, the Riddler, and Batman in Detective Mode.
Right.
And also Jervis Tench, the Mad Hatter.
Right.
Okay. And then Series 3 will come out in September of 2012, which will include... A Clown Thug.
Which looks pretty good.
Looks really good. The Penguin. Ra's al Ghul.
Right.
And who, at this point, is just concept art, it looks like. A Batman, but no specifics. And Azrael, which is also concept art that looks really, really good.
Yeah, I'm kind of behind in the game right now, so I haven't actually seen all of those characters in-game yet. But
right. And Arkham City will also have deluxe collector action figures, three of them. And these are humongous. We know this because we saw at least two of these at New York Comic Con.
Right.
The first one is the Titan Joker Deluxe in November, which is, you know, if you know the game, you know what that is. Killer Croc Deluxe in June 2012. This Killer Croc will make a great addition to any Batman collection because it's actually in scale. He's humongous. Humongous. Right. And then a Mr. Freeze Deluxe coming in June 2012, also around the same time as Killer Croc.
Nice.
They get into Dark Knight Rises, statues, Bane, Batman, and Catwoman. Right? I have to say, the more I see Bane, the more I don't like him.
Okay.
Just saying. Mini busts will come as well. 6-inch figures they will also be doing.
For the movie?
For the movie. We presume those three characters are going to be the ones they continue to do. They're releasing yet again the Jim Lee Superman and Batman statues. You know these are the ones where they're standing sort of on building tops, foot on the gargoyle head.
Right, right.
Now they're releasing them in a bronze patina. So we've got them in Full size color, mini color, and now bronze patina.
And now bronze patina.
Let it go. If anybody doesn't have these at this point, there isn't anyone that doesn't have this in some form or other. Batman Black and White. This year we have Sergio Argonis.
I love the look of that piece.
Yeah, incredible. Sam Keith, which is also incredible.
Awesome.
And Mike Mignola, which is essentially, it's not even essentially, it is straight up the Mike Mignola Batman.
But
they've changed the bat symbol.
Okay.
That's it. The Mike Mignola Batman Black and White, the original one, is the hardest one to get. It was the one they produced the least of, and it was the one that was the most bought. So in the secondary market, the original Mignola one goes for several hundred dollars.
Right, right.
And also ones we haven't seen yet, but we're very excited, our friend Darwin Cook.
Nice.
Finally being represented in the Batman Black and White line. Another Jim Lee, but this Batman is the Batman from the new Justice League.
Right, okay.
So it has that costume with the lines on it that no one understands. There's a Batman by Jock.
Right. Is that the flying one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know who Jock is.
The gliding one, maybe.
Yeah, he's kind of, it looks like he's just flying or falling or something, has a bat rope in his hand. There's concept art here for a Batman, for a Bane Black and White by Kelly Jones.
Right.
Which could be interesting. I don't know. I hope they don't choose that particular piece of art. I hope they go with another one. And another Joker now. I think this is the third Joker by Brian Bolan, and he has the cat.
Yeah, I'm
I know you're. I know you've had it with the Joker Black and White.
No, I'm just. I'm not feeling that particular Joker.
Anakami.
Yeah, Amikami is continuing, right?
Amikami. There's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 new Anakami.
Nah.
Coming out.
White Canary, maybe.
The Alfred E. Newman line is coming back.
Right. Now, I have all of the original ones of that line.
But now they look different to me.
There are new sculpts on at least some of them.
Yeah. And coming in July 2012, it's Superman, Green Arrow, and Aquaman. September 2012 is Flash, Green Lantern, and Wonder Woman. And then November is Batman, Robin, and the Joker.
They've never done a Joker before.
Nope. He kind of looks
they've never, they
like
did
a
do Robin.
Good Joker piece.
They did Flash.
I don't remember. Spy vs. Spy will get vinyl treatment in 2012.
Right. That's nice if you're a Spy vs. Spy collector.
But no one knows what that means.
What that means.
They look exactly like the figures that they put out
right.
100 years ago. Cover Girls, DC Universe, the new 52 statues. It looks like Raven, Wonder Woman, Catwoman, Poison Ivy will get treatment in 2012. These are full statues. Green Lantern, the animated series, will have some. These look to me to be maquettes.
Right.
So they will get that. Justice League, the new 52 collector action figures designed by Jim Lee.
Okay.
Aquaman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman, Flash, and Cyborg. These are the way the characters look, I guess, in the new Justice League book. Just finishing up. The new 52 got some busts coming.
Right.
What they show us here is Superman, Wonder Woman, Cyborg are done, Batgirl in process, and Grifter.
Right.
Grifter?
Well, he's got his own book in the new 52.
Is he one of the DC Universe characters?
Yeah. He was one of the ones imported from
that's terrible
from Wildstorm.
That's terrible.
He's got his own book.
Ugh.
Sorry.
Did that one end yet?
No, I don't know.
Another
is that one on the shopping block. I don't remember.
I don't know. Another quarter scale Batman piece. So I guess other characters are not worthy to get quarter scale, but Batman is getting his second one with a giant cod piece.
Yeah.
This piece looks really bad in this photo.
Silly. It looks silly. To me.
And rounding out silly, Catwoman quarter scale statue, which doesn't look so great to me either.
So there you go.
And then lastly, there's two sort of the verses. Now they've done a couple of these.
Right.
They did Batman Joker, which was a great piece. And now they're doing Green Lantern versus Parallax.
Right.
Which is kind of meh.
I guess if you're a Green Lantern fan,
it's probably
cool.
Really cool if you're a Green Lantern fan. He's all translucent.
Yeah,
Parallax.
That part I kind of like.
And then there's concept art for a battle statue from the from Batman The Dark Knight Returns, Batman versus Superman. Now, if it was the battle from Dark Knight,
right,
I would be interested. I'm on the fence about the battle between them in
Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Returns. So I'm going to hold
until you actually
judgment.
See the product.
Yeah. Lastly, some more bus heroes of the DC Universe, Swamp Thing, and Batman. So there's a variety. Oh, and StarCraft figures as well coming. So there's a variety of stuff that's coming, but for the first time, well, not for the first time, but maybe for the first time, there's really only 2 6-inch lines.
Right.
And a much smaller line of product than DC Direct has had in the last decade.
Yeah, you're going to see more DC-related product from Mattel, I would think.
I think so. And I think they're finally doing is allowing that transition to fully occur.
Take place.
Yeah, because what they've been doing for the past few years is not really a competition, because DC Direct has been focusing more on storyline and artist interpretation.
Right.
Rather than Mattel, who was just doing sort of, let's do as many of the characters
right.
as we can. Well, Mattel stopped doing that with the Green Lantern stuff and just started doing story-driven characters.
Right, right.
And I think that was during the transitional process. So, I don't know. It seems to me like DC Direct is kind of losing footing. I don't see anything in here there's a couple of things in here that are really cool, but nothing compelling. You know, nothing where I think they're breaking new ground or doing some phenomenal thing.
Yeah,
there's
a handful of things in there that I probably want, but that's about it.
The Batman Black and Whites are great,
right.
Of course. Some of the Arkham City stuff is really great.
Right.
But other than that,
I like the Alfred E. Newman stuff.
Alfred E. Newman stuff is at least interesting. But other than that, it's Dark Knight Rises stuff, which at this point I can't. Bane is not drawing me in as a character. He's
right.
kind of repulsing me. In a sense, I'm not repulsed, but
I know what you
keeping
mean.
Me at bay, if you will. So that's product.
All right. And with that, I guess we'll take our final break and be
yes.
right back with Big Kevsky Stuff, episode 236, 20 battle droids included.
Hello, this is Master Shake from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Mama, you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Listen up. You still listening? All right, have fun, you geeks. Goodbye, Mama. Shut up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 236, 20 battle droids included.
OOG, that's the D&D music, so...
No.
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Tonight we talked about that...
Ha! I got it right.
You did get it right. We talked about that horrendous Fox affiliate news story regarding the DC New 52.
Pretty bad.
We talked about the Al Ghuls in Dark Knight Rises. We also talked about Warner Brothers making a good decision in canceling ElfQuest in
the movie.
The movie, because they don't want to compete with The Hobbit. So kudos to them. That was actually the right decision to make, I believe.
I agree.
And I think that was it in the news segment.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, of course. We talked about the MTT also.
Really, the overall likely disappointing year for Hasbro
yeah.
and Star Wars is really what we talked about.
Right.
We going to see that?
Yeah.
3D? Are we hosting?
No.
I got to find out. We're hosting Midnight Show.
Maybe.
It might be.
I don't know.
I think it's been a while since we hosted a Star Wars movie, hasn't it?
It probably has been a long while since
wow.
we hosted a Star Wars movie.
Go on. Sorry.
In segment two tonight, of course, we recapped New York Comic Con. Thank you again to Crackit for that phone call. And we encourage all of you to give us a call over at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
That's right. And leave us a voicemail that you may hear on a future episode of Big Kev Geeks.
A lot of zeros.
We talked about Real Steel in the DVD section of tonight's show. Really, that was the only
I really am looking.
DVD.
I am going to pick it up.
I do want to see it.
Yeah.
I will check it out.
Yeah. And in comics tonight, we only talked about two, DC's Batman The Dark Knight number 5 and Dynamite's The Last Phantom number 11. which OG is a big fan of, as we know.
Of course.
And we talked about some trades. One is the hardcover version of Spontaneous. I still haven't found out if this was a collection or not.
It was. There was four issues in that book.
There
you go. That was collected into that.
Nice job, OG. $25 Going to get it from you from Oni Press. Frank Reed, Adventures in the Age of Invention, from the folks that brought you Boilerplate.
That's right.
Also going to run you $25 Entirely different sort of book.
Of course.
And then lastly, Romeo and Juliet, The War. This is a giant Stan Lee helped out sort of reinterpretation of Romeo and Juliet in a some kind of science fiction-y way. Not that it hasn't been done before. It has. But
sure.
This one, I think, looks really pretty. It's from a new company, I think, called 1821 Comics, 1821comics.com. Check that out. I'm looking forward to reading it. I haven't read it yet, but I'm looking forward to it. And then tonight in product, we just sort of recapped a periodical that came out from DC Direct called DC Direct Collectibles 2012. And you can check them out over at dcdirectonline.com. And some things we liked, some things we didn't, but what we can see absolutely is that DC Direct is definitely starting to produce a lot less product.
And again, I think we'll be able to report on that a little bit more clearly after Toy Fair, once we actually get to see everything more.
Assuming
or less.
That we do, yeah.
Don't forget, also, tonight's episode was brought to you by some fantastic sponsors, the Masters of None. You heard their commercial
Masters of None
earlier on in the show. And, of course, Superpower Collectibles. Superpower Collectibles. SuperpowerCollectibles.com.
Right.
For all of your excellent toy needs. They have a lot of stuff over there. You definitely should check it out.
If you use Big Kev in the
coupon code,
you get a free glass of wine.
That's not what you get.
No?
No. You get, I believe it's $10 off a purchase of $50.
Oh, that's right.
So you should definitely check that out.
$10 off a $50 purchase?
Yes, I believe so.
Wow, isn't that like...
20%.
Like 20%?
Yeah.
Do we go through this every week?
Every week.
Just saying. 20% is a good deal.
Look,
you're going to buy something, go over to Superpower Collectibles
and
buy it. You're going to spend $50, you save $10.
Right.
You save 20%.
A great sponsor.
Absolutely.
Great website. You should all absolutely check it out. Of course, don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have a plethora of things going on. The new episodes, the blogs, the videos, all of that good stuff. Of course, also at Facebook.com/BKGeekStuff, where you can comment on the episodes. We post relevant videos and topics.
More of live from Studio V is coming soon.
Coming in the near future.
Yes.
We hear. Of course, don't forget, you can go over to the message boards and participate over there. Of course, the OMFG contest also going on over at the message boards. Find the OMFG section.
Right.
Find the thread for Series 2. Post your submission for that. Let us know that you're doing it as part of the Big Kev's Geek Stuff contest. And you can win yourself a set of OMFG Kickstarter-exclusive black figures.
Nice.
And again, we'll select that winner in a couple of weeks.
Also, you can look at our website, and also OG will post this on Facebook as well for the Tell a Friend.
That's right. The rules
contest.
Will be up.
Three different categories, three real, live, fabulous, beautiful prizes, not the mouse pad, the...
Not the Twilight Zone mouse pad.
The Twilight Zone mouse pad that you get with every order from Entertainment Earth, not the Sideshow 2012 catalog, which you also get with every order. Or most orders, or the order that will fit in the box without folding it.
Right.
Not the mug. Not the tote bag.
Not the tote bag.
So these are going to be real giant prizes.
That's right.
Right out of OG's collection.
That's right.
No. Not out of your collection.
Not out
these
of
are
my
real
collection.
New
these
prizes.
These are real new prizes.
Yep, absolutely. And, I'm very excited about the prizes. And no, we're not going to say what they are, because we are saving that as a surprise. Maybe when we get closer
when we
to
get
the
closer.
End. Maybe we'll say something. Then.
Absolutely. And I think that's about it this week.
I think so. And with that, OG, we'll bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close, as we close all episodes of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, by saying good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
to this. We tried to warn you all, but all did. You may not share our intellect, which might explain your.